This is a topic that is very dear to my heart, but I think I can hit the high points succinctly, and this is not going to be a definitive conversation about this whole thing. But I will be brief for the sake of this has been a long day, and it's been drinking from the fire hose, and we're all tired, and you guys have hung with this in a very faith-filled way. So did anyone read Recapturing Your Thought Life and think I was going to talk about like purity and thoughts and being pure in your thoughts? No? Well, good, because I'm not. I think that's a very valuable conversation to have, but it's not the conversation that I wanted to have with you guys tonight. I am a firm believer that we can let the Lord take our messes and make them part of our message. And I want to just share with you guys tonight a journey that the Lord has had me on pretty significantly for the past 15 months and just talk you through some of the things that the Lord has been teaching me. I think it's kind of short-sighted to think that the God who created the world and all the things in it doesn't have something to say about our mental health as women and just our thoughts and emotions and actions and how all of that plays out. I know that the last 2 years have been very significant in our world, and I know there's been a lot of things that have landed in our hearts. There's been some very significant things that have landed in my heart. And so I just wanted to tell you guys some of the tools that the Lord has been teaching me and that he's been using to kind of transform some of my thinking and to walk a journey of learning through a journey I would never have picked of through anxiety and depression. So I just want to talk to you guys what I've been learning. So let's pray and then I'll jump in. Dear Jesus, we just pray that you would be here one more time with us this evening, that you give us some renewed energy, that you would just communicate through me, that you would help me remember the things you want me to say, and you'd help me to forget the things you don't want me to say. I pray that I can be very timely and articulate, and you would help the women to hear what you want them to hear, and that we can just, apparently, people are going to karaoke. Amen. I think we are going to do some Q&A, but probably a lesser amount tonight. Okay, so my first panic attack that I ever had in my life was 7 years ago in November. And I woke up in the middle of the night and my heart was pounding and my skin was crawling. I felt like I was crawling out of my skin. My thoughts were just absolutely racing. And then so my heart would pound and then it would like palpitate. It would like skip a beat. And I felt terror like I had never known in my entire life. And I was laying in my bed. And that was the first time I had a panic attack. And I had a couple from then until in the next couple years, I had a couple more. And the last panic attack I had was last December, so like 15 months ago. And I was in Sam's Club and I was with my 11-year-old son. We were shopping for, I don't even know, it was December, so probably a number of different things. And I'm in the back of the store and I feel this feeling come over me. And I fell. I could not stand. I could not stand up. And I soaked my clothes. I kid you not. I soaked my clothes in 30 seconds. Like when I got home, I wrung them out. That's how wet they were. And I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, okay, Garrison, we got to get to the front of the store and not in the back where I didn't know what was happening. I'd had a couple panic attacks, but I'd never had something like that. And so I stand up. He's obviously incredibly concerned. I'm like, let's get to the front. So we get to the front and I sit down at one of the cafes and it got worse and I could not stand. Then I couldn't even sit up. So then I'm laying down on the chair and over the table and I'm just soaking my clothes and it just feels like it's a wave that's coming over me. And my sense of terror was if the one that I'd had 7 years ago was bad, this one was like that on steroids. And I went nonverbal and I quit talking. And Garrison is like, Mom, what's going on? Mom, what's going on? And so concerned. And I just remember thinking, if I open up my mouth to say a word, I am going to start screaming. And I don't think I'm ever going to stop. And I had the mental clarity to think, if I start screaming in the middle of Sam's and I cannot stop screaming, there's going to be a whole world that gets into play. I just need to get Rich to come pick me up. And so I handed my phone to Garrison. I was like, Dad. So he calls Rich. Rich is trying to talk to me on the phone. And Garrison's like, Mom's not saying anything. She's not speaking to me, Dad. I think you need to come get her. And then employees are coming up. Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm just like, and Garrison's like, Dad's coming to get her. You know, do we need to call 911? And he's like, no, she doesn't want you to do that. And then Rich comes, he picks me up. You know, he's instantly like, do we need to go to the hospital? Do I need to? And I was like, no, home. I just want to go home. So he's like, you know, I'll help you. We'll get a wheelchair. And I'm like, no. And, you know, so I'm like walking out at this point. My clothes were sopping wet. From my shirt all the way down to my socks, just sopping wet. Rich is like, are you running a fever? And I'm like, no, stop talking. And so then I get in the back of the Denali and I lay down in the back seat and I just laid there the whole, that was like, it's like 25 minutes from our house. I lay in the seat the whole way home. I get to the house, I crawl in bed and I didn't get out of bed for a couple days. I didn't get out of bed. It was like noon. I didn't get out of bed all that day. I didn't get out of bed the whole next day, and I didn't get out of bed the whole next day. So 2.5 days I was in bed. I was incapable of getting out of bed. You all, though, even though you don't know me very well, I feel like I've tried to give a little insight into who I am and go-getter and do all the things, and I was physically incapable of getting out of bed. And I just lay there. I was on my back, and I felt like the first probably day and a half, I felt like I was in a fog. I had no idea what happened. I felt like, did I lose time? What's going on? And then the second, third whole day that I was in bed, I started having the mental clarity to be like, God, what just happened? And over the course of that day, while I laid in bed, I felt like, okay, I need to kind of take this opportunity. I'm still physically not able to get out of bed. I would get out of bed, go to the bathroom, but then I'd climb back in bed. And I just felt like the Lord was like, we need to engage. I have even talked publicly before about some of the things that the Lord has taught me when it comes to anxiety and depression, things like that. And I thought I'd been doing okay. And clearly I had not been doing okay. And so over the course of several months, and I am not perfect, but over the course of several months, the Lord just engaged with me in a really significant way. And I was desperate. I was like, I can't do this again. Like, one, I was non-functioning for my family, and Rich was super concerned, and we didn't know what was going on. I mean, pretty quickly figured out when I looked up the symptoms of a panic attack. Like, I was like, oh yeah, that was like, it was a panic attack. It just was beyond awful. And so the things that I'm going to share with you tonight, and I'm going to roll through them quick, are the things that the Lord has taught me over the last 15 months when it comes to my thoughts that affect my emotions, that affect the physical behavior, to the point where my thoughts had been affecting my emotions and my emotions manifested in a panic attack that left me bedridden for 2.5 days. So the first one is Romans 12:2. With eyes wide open on the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. It meets all his demands and it moves toward the goal of true maturity. And I read that verse and I was like, okay, so I had definitely given a little bit of room, and I want to be really careful. I had given a little bit of room to thinking that anxiety in a low level or sometimes a medium level was kind of just an accepted part of my world. That I commonly said things like, I'm overwhelmed, or I feel like I can't handle all of the different responsibilities that I have on my hand. I'm anxious about this. And I'd kind of let this thinking creep in that it was okay. And that verse says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. So the first step, the first point, I want you guys to write down, change the way you think by taking every thought captive. So I used to think that every thought that came into my head, I was responsible for. So like as a practical application of that, I don't know what it was. I'm sure it was like a pimple or something. But I woke up the other day and there was like a hard thing on my cheek. And I instantly went from, oh, there's a hard thing on my cheek, to, it probably means I have skin cancer, to, well, I'm probably going to have to get surgery to get it taken off. And then I'm probably going to have to wear one of those bandages. And then I'm probably, and it just kept going. And the Lord just has taught me pretty consistently, hey, you've got to take that first thought captive. You're not responsible for the first thought that pops in your head. I don't know where those thoughts come from. I don't know if it's the devil or just our brain or what, but I'm not responsible for that first thought. I have skin cancer. I'm responsible for every single thing I do with it afterwards. Am I taking that thought captive and being like, no, I'm not going to go down this road of thinking all these things. So for me, how that played out in a really, really significant way, that I spent so much time, I would be worrying and thinking about things that it was this random thought that I would think, like, am I going to be able to get all the Sunday school teachers filled for the next month? And then I'd be like, well, I'm going to have to teach every single Sunday this month because I didn't get everybody filled. And then I'm probably going to have to teach next month. And it was like, it was just a spiral. It was this rabbit hole where it was like, nope, bring it back right to that first thought. I have skin cancer. No. I'm not going to think anything beyond that. And I'll tell you what to do with that thought. I won't leave you with that thought. But 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So that first thought that comes into your head, you stop it. You don't let it spiral. You don't let it keep going. You don't think, I have a test in 3 days and I feel super overwhelmed by it. You're like, yes, I have a test. And then you stop the thought. You don't let it keep spiraling past that. Philippians 4:8 says, this is what you do with the thought. Philippians 4:8. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. And so I was just really meditating on that verse, thinking through that verse. God, what do you have for me in this verse? And I landed on the phrase, what is true today and what is right now, from the phrase that says, fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. So the way that I applied that into my life is what is true today and what is right now. So you have that first initial thought, I have skin cancer. And then you apply that what is true today and what is right now. What is true today? Do I have a diagnosis of skin cancer? No. Right now, today, do I have a diagnosis of skin cancer? No. So I'm all done. And I slot that thought under the obedience of Christ, and I'm not worrying about something that has not been landed into my life. I think one of the ways that this has really helped me play out is this summer in July, Garrison again, poor guy, he's gonna have wounds. Anyway, so we went to Gypsum, we had a family vacation. One of the days we were waiting in the Colorado River. I hate rivers. I hate them because I respect them. And I have taught all my kids how to handle rivers. I've tried really hard to keep them away from it, but then if they're gonna be in it, I've tried to give them the skills. So I said to Garrison, you know, if you ever got, because I knew I told all the other kids, I said, you know, if you ever got swept away in the river, this is what you would do. And I told him how to handle getting swept away in the river. And then he and some cousins go out to this super shallow part of the river. And I'm like, yep, okay. But I'm just watching him like a hawk because I'm so, you know, like, okay, things can change really fast. Garrison's like walking along. I don't even know what happened, but he tripped and he fell. And he fell into this super deep, swift moving current. And it happened like that, like so fast. And he instantly flipped over like I had taught him. And he tried to turn around. So he's face feet first. He's like this big, you know, he's still 11. And he looks back at me and he's like doing fine. And he's a very strong swimmer. And I'm like, just float. You're going to float out of it. Cause it looked like he would still just float right out of it. And then he went under. And then he comes up and he looks at me and he was panicking. And then I was like, you know what? This is now when my son, who was very level headed up to that point, is going to start panicking and something's going to happen. And I jumped in the river and I'm trained as a lifeguard and I'm an extremely strong swimmer. And I swam out to him, and by the grace of God, I was able to grab him and I put my arm on him. And you know, you're trained, you're never supposed to come up on someone and give them your arm because they could pull you down. And so I grabbed his arm and I was like, Garrison, float. And he floated flipped over and I knew he wasn't panicking. And then I swam us out, which was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And we walked out and I was able to get my son. I woke up so many nights dreaming and I missed him. And it was so real because it happened exactly like it happened in real life. And I woke up night after night after night and I missed him and I missed him and I missed him. And I would lay there and my heart was just racing and I was panicking. And I was, oh my God. And then I'm like, no, he's okay. He's fine. And so for many nights, I really struggled with and I could not fall back asleep. And then the Lord was like, Morg, what is true today? What is your right now today? Your son is sleeping down that hallway. And your right now is that he is in bed right down that hallway. And I gave you the grace to get him and he is okay. And you can slot this into the obedience of Christ and not have this emotion keep pummeling into your heart that's not based on truth. And that was such a significant thing for me. I think the thing I learned through all of that is the thing that we think about affects our emotions and our emotions affect our behavior. Psalm 39:3 says, the more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. The more you think about something, the more your emotions fall in line with it. And then the more your behavior follows in line with that. Where if you pull it all the way back to the thing you're thinking about, we spend so much time kind of policing our actions that I'm suggesting that you pull it back multiple steps. And what is it that you're thinking about? And put it through the filter. Is it true today? And is it right now? And if it's not those things, if it's not true today, and if it's not right now, then Jesus, I believe that you are good and that you have good for me. And I am going to walk out my true today and my right now. Another way that this has played out is Matthew 6:34. This has been a big one for me. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then the other version in the Message says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And that has been so key for me in helping me process overwhelming things. So I'd wake up in the morning. I'm kind of an early bird. So I'd wake up at 5 and I'd instantly like wake up and I'd open my eyes up and I would be like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do today. And I'm like, okay, I have that meeting at 9 and then I have to bring Judah to this at that time. Then we have small group tonight and I have to make dinner for that. And I'm instantly overwhelmed. And I'm instantly starting the day at this place where it's like, okay, I literally just woke up. And so I have been practicing thinking about today. I'm only dealing with my right now and today. My right now is 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a cup of coffee. I cannot do anything about the 9 a.m. meeting because it hasn't even happened yet. I can do everything with my right now today. I can do the next right thing that God has for me and drink my cup of coffee and have my quiet time, knowing that it's going to give me the skills to handle the rest of the day. And I'm going to let the 9 o'clock thing stay at 9 o'clock. And I'm going to let the teaching that I have to prepare for be tomorrow when I have to prepare for it. And that has been huge for me in slotting all these things together. So I have a couple practicals for you and then I'm done. So some of the practicals that I have learned. So my specific struggle has been with anxiety and depression. These tools apply to so many negative emotions that we can feel. Being fearful of the future or right now, feeling overwhelmed, spiraling, feeling anger, feeling resentment. All of these things that I've given you are all tools to help process all of those. So one of the things that I have started doing is I have a little like 3x5 note card. It's like spiral bound. And I write verses down for my specific thing. And my specific thing has always been, well, it hasn't always been. I actually used to judge women who told me that they felt anxious about something. And I genuinely was like, well, I think you're in sin. And then the Lord was like, well, I'm going to help you learn empathy. So sometimes for me, it's hard for me to be clear-headed when I'm in one of those cycles. It's hard for me to pray articulate prayers because my mind feels really foggy. And so I have started having, you can even get the tabbed ones, and you can have one be anxiety or one be depression or one be anger or resentment. You can have them very clearly laid out, and I write down verses that the Lord has given me or that someone else has shared with me, hey, this is really good. And when I'm in that moment, as I'm working to apply these things, thinking about what's true today and right now, trying to leave tomorrow, which I think is, oh no, did I tell you your third point? Do the next right thing today. As I'm trying to apply those principles, I'm going to change the way that I think by stopping the thought in its track. I'm going to keep my thoughts captive. What is true today and right now, I'm going to apply that here. Is this true today? And is this my right now? I'm going to do the next right thing today, and I'm not going to think about the things that happen at 9 and 10 and all of those things. So as I've been working to do those, sometimes I need a little bit of help, and sometimes I need those verses. So I have them in a very clearly accessible place that I can just pray through. Kath talked about self-talk, and I do that. I write down I write down the thing that I'm thinking about that is causing a negative emotion, and I get it out on a piece of paper, and I write it down, and it gives me the act of getting it out of my heart and getting out of my head. And in that and of itself is a lot of freedom. But then when you write it down, and after you've prayed some of those, then you can follow it up with, and I don't always even do it that moment, but then you can follow that piece of self-talk up with the word of God. And you speak the word of God over that. And that has been a huge help too. I'll say this, I don't know where you guys are at with social media and stuff like that. As I started to connect these feelings of negativity that I would have, these feelings of overwhelmingness, these feelings of anxiety, I started tracking how often I felt that way when I was on social media. And there was a direct correlation, like a 100% direct correlation. And for me, I still like social media, but I hated. Once I started being able to articulate the emotion that I was feeling and recognizing I really don't like this, and I don't like where it's landing in my life, and I don't like where it's moving me towards, I started realizing, I think I need to be really careful with my social media usage, and it has borne tremendous amount of fruit in my life. So, my other verse is there. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I can share with you guys these lessons that the Lord has taught me in the last 15 months. I feel like the Lord has taught me these lessons in the last 15 months, and my soul has been in agony. And I have despaired even to the point of life many times over, where I was like multiple times, God, where are you? Where are you in all of this? And I was like, I felt agony in my soul and just wanting to not be in this place. And for me, it was a struggle with anxiety and depression. I'm not going to ever say I'm done, but I am in a completely different place than I was when I put these three tools into place and started praying specific verses over those things, to the point where I can say, I will praise you to all of my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things you have done. For he has not despised my cries of deep despair. He has not turned and walked away. When I cried to him, he heard and came, and he has been very faithful to me. And there was multiple times where the only two things I knew was God is good. And God is good to me, and he has not left me, and I am not by myself, and you are going to walk with me through this. The other verses on there are great. We're going to be done because it's been a long day. So I'm happy to talk to anyone about any of those things. I know that's a big deal in our world today. This is, like I said, not an exhaustive topic, but I feel like the Lord's taught me a lot on all of this stuff. And if you guys want to talk, I would love to talk to you. So let's quick pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for today. What a day. God, I pray that you would just come alongside these women who have just sat here faithfully and just received your instruction. God, I know Kath and I have been here a lot, but it's your words and it's your instruction. It's the word of God. Just pray, God, that you bless their faith. Pray that you would bless their faith in continuing just to show up and show up and show up. Pray that you would rest and refresh them tonight, whether through fellowship or just a great night's sleep. Pray that you would be merciful and somehow make that hour lacking in sleep not feel like it is. And God, we just thank you for the day that we got to spend together, and we pray that you give us a great night's sleep. Amen.